Do you love him? Yeah. Amen. I love him tonight. Well, let me start off with a Christmas story. Right. I heard or read this just recently. Said that some women were shopping, probably at Walmart, and said that the crowd was, it was Christmas, and the crowd was large, and they were pushing and shoving, and tempers were flaring. You know how that goes. The joy of Christmas, and they were just standing in long lines and frustrated, and one woman was heard in the crowd, and she said, whoever came up with this Christmas idea ought to be strung up. And another voice piped up and said, they took care of that at Easter. That's exactly right. I'm glad for Christmas, and I'm glad for Easter. Because I'm glad for Jesus. Amen. We couldn't have one without the other. Really, could we? He wouldn't have been born if it wasn't for this purpose of this weekend right here. This death, burial, and resurrection. And he wouldn't have died if he had never been born. I thank God that he was able and willing to pay that ultimate sacrifice. Aren't you? Amen. I love him tonight with all of my heart. Well, we've enjoyed being here with you, and we appreciate everything that's been done for us, the good meals, your kindness, that great breakfast this morning. Y'all coming to church and hearing us two or three, four times, however many times it's been. I know it's been hard on you to endure it, as hard on me as hard as it's been on me to give it to you. But I just appreciate your faithfulness and your kindness. And your giving, your offerings, we appreciate so much everything you've done for us. May the Lord bless you. Appreciate Brother Webb and the great meal he gave today and provided for us. And we just enjoyed the fellowship with him. Brother Webb is a great man. I love him. I appreciate him. And he's a great role model, a great leader that we can follow. And I appreciate that. And I don't just say that to build him up. I really appreciate Brother Webb, and I know you do too as well. Is that right? Amen. Great man of God, great pastor, and we appreciate him inviting us to be here with you. I want Sister Brim to testify tonight, say what's on her heart, and then I'm going to try to preach to you here unless y'all shout sometime between now and then. Amen. But stand and testify, Barb. Say something good for the Lord. I think that's pretty good testimony right there. You know what amazes me is some folks that are sitting right here, it didn't even have any effect on their heart. They still don't understand. It amazes me, Brother Webb. It makes me wonder how far they're going to have to go before they realize, I've got to have God. I've got to have God. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. I'm getting off on the wrong foot right here. I can see that. But it does not make you a Christian. You've got to have God. You've got to have God. And the problem is some of us are so content without him. I wish we could understand how much we need God. The book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Then I'm going to go to chapter 4, read just a few words. Then we're going to go to chapter 17 and do the same thing. And chapter 21 and do the same thing. Right there in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 17 and chapter 21. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1, I want to read verse number 9 and verse number 10. I hope the Lord will help me to preach to you what I feel in my heart. And I'd sure like the sweet Holy Ghost to come by again and touch us, amen, with his good, sweet spirit. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9 and verse number 10. If you have it, say amen. Well, that didn't sound too good. Let me give you a couple more seconds to find it or something. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Now, if you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. Either more found it or we're just storytelling there. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want to read that again. I want to take out a lot of the details. He said, I, John, was in the isle that is called Patmos. I was on Patmos. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm on Patmos, but I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Go to chapter 4 and verse number 2. Chapter 4 and verse number 2. John is writing again, and he said, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Praise God. I'm still on Patmos, but I'm in the Spirit again. Chapter 17. Let's go there. Chapter 17, verse number 3. Chapter 17, verse number 3. John still is on Patmos, but he picks up his pen again and he says this. So he carried me away in the Spirit. Still on Patmos, but I'm in the Spirit again. Chapter 21, verse number 10. Chapter 21, verse number 10. John's still on the Isle of Patmos. And look what he says. And he carried me away in the Spirit. He carried me away in the Spirit. Let's go back to chapter 1. John said, I was on Patmos, and I was in the Spirit. I'd like to preach to you for a little while tonight on this thought, Pentecost while at Patmos. Pentecost while at Patmos. Can we pray together and ask the Lord to help us? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that has been here. I pray that you would stand me in liberty to preach the Word of God. And I pray that the Holy Ghost would fill this house. You would move upon the hearts of the hearers. I pray, Lord, that you would let me preach this just like you want it preached. And I pray that it would have the desired effect upon the hearts. We would move to the altar and we would let the Spirit of God settle on our souls tonight. I'll give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for it. And everyone said, amen and amen. Pentecost while at Patmos. Revelation is a great book, isn't it? It gives us Bible readers insight into the end of time and the beginning of eternity. This book of Revelation concludes what Genesis has commenced. Amen. We find in Genesis the entrance of sin and the curse. But by the time we get to the back of the book of Revelation, we find the end of sin and the curse. In Genesis, we see the tree of life is relinquished. But in Revelation, that tree of life is regained. Amen. In Genesis, we find death entering into the world. But in Revelation, we find that death ends. Hallelujah. In Genesis, we find the beginning of sorrows and tears. But in the book of Revelation, we find the banishing of sorrows and tears. For it said that God himself shall wipe away all tears from off of all faces. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we've got the book of Revelation. For Genesis is the beginning of it all, but ending in Revelation. Hallelujah. You remember that old song that said, I've read the back of the book and we win. That's why I'm glad for Revelation. Amen. We may be living in the middle of it somewhere, and we cannot see the end. We don't know if we're going to win. We don't know if we're going to be victorious. But when we open up the book of Revelation, it lets me know that the church is going to win in the end. Hallelujah. The church is going to come out victorious. The church is going to come out, amen, on top of the enemy. Hallelujah. For a microphone. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the book of Revelation, aren't you? Amen. It tells us a lot about the end of time. Glory to God. Amen. I think that woke a few of us up. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Let me preach to you here about this experience of Pentecost while at Patmos. Notice first of all here tonight that it is God's servant. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 1 said, his servant Jesus.
John, this man that wrote the book of Revelation, that wrote it down, he was John, God's servant. He was that disciple of the Lord. He walked with him and talked with him and enjoyed fellowship with Jesus Christ. There was an everyday communion between them. And Jesus taught John everything he needed to know. He told him everything he needed to hear. And Jesus met John's every need and fed him spiritually and fed him physically. And nothing lacked in John's life, for he was a disciple of Christ. Can I tell you tonight, it ought to be the same way with us. We ought to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of him, one that sits at his feet and learns of him and lets him teach us and talk with us. We are to enjoy fellowship with him every day. Amen. Jesus still meets his disciples' needs. He still walks with us, doesn't he? He still talks with us. He still ministers to us. He still strengthens us and revives us. I'm glad to be a disciple of the Lord. Hallelujah. But John was not only that disciple, but he was the dearest disciple. You remember that Jesus had 12 disciples, right? Amen. We can name them all 12. But there was 3 out of the 12 that were part of an inner circle. Amen. They were the ones that Jesus took with him to the mountain of transfiguration. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. You remember the 3 that he took inside the Garden of Gethsemane to pray? He left 8 at the gate. Judas had already betrayed him. Amen. But he took 3 on in with him. They were that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But then the Bible said there was one disciple whom Jesus loved. Who was that? It was John. Amen. It was this servant of God right here. This man of God who was that dearest disciple. Can I tell you tonight that God has no favorites? God has no one above another one. But he does have intimates. Those that get closer to him than anybody else does. Amen. I'm glad to be part of the church, but I'd like to be an intimate with the Lord. I'd like to get as close to him as I can and be like John and lay my head over on him and hear the heartbeat of God. I'd like to be like John and have him talk to me and tell me his mind and his will. Amen. You see, there are intimates in the Bible. Abraham was an intimate, for the Bible said he was a friend of God. Enoch was an intimate, for it said he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Amen. David was an intimate, for it said he was a man after God's own heart. Paul was an intimate, for he was caught up into the third heaven and shown things which are unlawfully even uttered. They were intimates with God. Wouldn't you like to get closer, church? Wouldn't you like to get closer, brother? Wouldn't you like to get closer to him? Until you are an intimate, until you can hear his heartbeat, and you know every step he's going to take, every word he's going to say, you're close to the Lord. Oh, to be a servant of God. Oh, to be a close one with God. Oh, to walk and talk with him in the cool of the day. God's servant. But also notice here that there was great suffering. Look at verse number 9 of our text. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. All the Christians were suffering under the hand of Domitian, who was the emperor at that time. And John was a companion with them in their great suffering. And possibly he was suffering more than most of the others. He had a suffering time. Let me tell you something right here. Hear me now. Even God's dearest disciples will go through great suffering. Amen. You can be a child of God and go through a hard time of life. I know there is a doctrine today that teaches otherwise. And they say that if you're a child of God, and if you're living right, you're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be able to live in a beautiful home and have a Cadillac to drive in. And you're never going to be sick. And if you are sick, it's because you sin. I'm going to tell you right here, flat-footed, that is a heresy. That's what that is. For the book never told us that. The book tells us, friend, that you can be one of God's servants. You can be one of God's intimates. And even then go through great suffering. Even Abraham suffered. And David suffered. And Paul suffered. And you can't talk about suffering without talking about old Job. For he suffered too, my friend. But yet they were great servants of God. Are you here tonight? And you feel like you've been trying to do your best. But yet you're in a time of great suffering and great tribulation. And problems are all around you. I just feel like telling you tonight, you're still a child of God. You're still one of His chosen ones. Even God has not neglected you. God has not forsaken you. He has not turned His back on you. You're still a child of God. Amen. You are still one of His favorite, one of His intimates. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about suffering over 175 times. It talks about a test 182 times. It talks about the trial 6 different times. It talks about tribulation 25 different times. Do you feel like you're going through one of them? Let me tell you, you're still a child of God in the middle of your tribulation. You're still His chosen one in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your sorrow, in the middle of your heartbreak, in the middle of your hard time. You're still a child of God. You still belong to the King. You still belong to God. Amen. He never has forgotten you. He knows right where you're at. He sees you where you are. He knows what you're feeling. And you're still a child of God, even in your time of suffering. Help me, Holy Ghost. I want to preach to you tonight about this Patmos. Amen. I'm going to take you low, it seems like, here for just a moment. But I want to preach to you about the problems that are faced on Patmos. For being banished to the Isle of Patmos was not a great time. Amen. There are two types of problems when you were on Patmos. There were problems without, and there were problems within. I want to deal with them. Let's look at the problems without. You see, the Bible simply tells us that John was on the isle that is called Patmos. That does not explain much or reveal much to us about his experience on Patmos. But when a man or a woman was put on Patmos, they dealt with problems every day of their life. I began to study on Patmos for this message, and I found out a lot of interesting things. Let me describe to you what Patmos was. Patmos was a small prison island. Amen. If you were there, it's because you were a prisoner of the law. It was only about 6 miles wide, and it was only about 10 miles long. Not very big. Amen. There were no trees on it. There was no vegetation, no bushes, no grass, nothing that grew on it. It was just a hump of rocks that stuck up out of the middle of the ocean. And it was a mining island. Most men say that it was a salt mine. And so if you were there as a prisoner, they would have a ball and chain around your ankle. And you would be working in the mines, the salt mines, all day long. You're out in the middle of the ocean, the sun beating down on you. No trees to go to. If you didn't work fast enough and hard enough, they would come by and whip you and beat you. And the blood would flow and the broken body would be there. And then you would work in the salt mine. Can you begin to feel the sting and the burning of the salt as it gets in your wounds on Patmos? I'm talking about the problems without, the problems on the outside. Amen. These prisoners would be whipped and tortured. They were given very little food or clothing. Amen. There was disease all over. It was hot. It was unsanitary. It was dangerous. It was a terrible place. Nobody wanted to go to Patmos. It was so terrible to face all of the problems of Patmos. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you tonight, are you here in this church tonight? And you could say, preacher, I feel like I've been living on an isle that is called Patmos. I feel like I've been bound by chains. I've been living in the midst of a problem. It seems like everywhere I turn, I'm facing a problem on the outside. Amen. It's issues everywhere in my life. Maybe tonight you're in the Patmos of sickness and disease, and your body is racked and tortured with pain. Amen. Maybe you feel like you've been overwhelmed, and you've been banished to an isle called Patmos, and sickness is your meat all the time. You can't get any health. You can't feel any relief from your pain. Amen. You feel like you're living on an isle that is called Patmos. Preacher, I'm a prisoner on this isle called Patmos. I feel overwhelmed by my problem. I feel overwhelmed by my trouble. I feel overwhelmed by my burden. You're living on an isle called Patmos. Troubles, tests, problems everywhere you turn. You go home, and when you walk in the house, it's a problem that faces you. You go to the job, and when you clock in, there's a problem that's waiting on you. Amen. Spiritually, it's a fight. The devil has pulled out all the stops and has attacked you in every way possible. Or maybe your problem, your Patmos, is a financial problem. And though you've tried to pay your tithes and you've tried to do right, amen, you still can't make ends meet. And you're saying, God, where's help? God, what's going to happen here? Or maybe yours is a hurt or a wound, amen, that you have suffered at the hand of one you love. Or maybe yours is a family problem. Amen. Your spouse is unsaved. They've gone so far from God, and you don't know where to turn, and you don't know how to handle it. And every morning you wake up and you say, God, I feel like I'm living on an isle that is called Patmos. I feel like I've got another beating a day. I feel like the salt's got in the wound, and it's burning, it's stinging. I feel like I'm living on an isle called Patmos. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's a woman in Illinois. I've preached at this church for years. Hey, man, since I first started preaching, this precious woman in this church, her name is Sister Wanda. Her husband is an alcoholic. He is so far from God, never been saved. But Sister Wanda comes to church every time the doors are open and has a good spirit. Amen. Her husband opposes her and battles her. He's a drunk. Amen. Always fighting against her. Amen. But she'll come to church, Brother Webb. She holds a position of treasure in the church, and she'll come to church, and the Spirit of God will get on her. And she'll put her little hands up like this, and the Holy Ghost will begin to move on her, and she'll shake under the presence and power of God. And every time I think about that woman, I realize that she's living on an isle called Patmos. Amen. She's in the midst of a problem. Amen. Do you feel like that tonight? Preacher, I feel like my address is 999 Patmos. Amen. I'm living on Patmos. I'm going through problems. I'm going through burdens. I'm going through trouble. Amen. It feels like it's more than I can bear. It feels like it's more than I can take. It feels like I can't handle it. I'm about to be crushed under the load. Hey, friend, you're only living in a place called Patmos, but you're only there for a little while. And God said, I'll not put more on you than you are able to bear. Amen. Just hold on to God and realize He's watching. He cares. He understands. He knows you're living on Patmos. Just endure it for a little while. Live on Patmos for a little while. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Problems without. But there are also problems within. John was being tortured for his faith in God. Any time, Brother Compton, he could have said Jesus was a fake, and they would have let him go home and honored him as a hero. That's the truth. Look what the Bible said.
I was on Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was suffering because he believed in Jesus. Hey, can you imagine all the questions that must have rolled in John's mind? Why? Why is all of this happening to me? Amen. Why did God allow this to come in my life? Does God really love me? Does God really care? If God really did love me, he wouldn't let me go through this. He wouldn't let this happen in my life. Hey, God, do you understand? What did I do to deserve this? Amen. God, do you know where I'm at? I'm talking about problems on the inside now. Problems in the heart and problems in the mind. Amen. Listen to me, church. There are sometimes we say, God, is it really worth it to serve you? He was probably fighting doubt and fear and disappointment and discouragement every day of his life. Amen. As he was living on Patmos, all of these doubts and fears were rolling in his mind. God, why am I going through this? God, why do I have to go through this Patmos experience? The problems that rage on the inside can be worse than the problems that are on the outside. I told you I'm bringing you low. Don't get too low, all right? There are problems on the outside, such as financial needs, but I can help you with that sometime. I can come by and I can give you a $20 bill. Maybe somebody got a little more, they can give you a $100 bill, and it helps that problem for the moment. Amen. If you're sick, you can call for the elders of the church and they pray for you and God will touch you. Amen. And lift your spirit a little bit and strengthen your body and you go home feeling better. But those problems on the inside, nobody knows about them. And you lay on the bed at night and the tears flow down your face and you say, God, I don't understand it. And nobody's there to wipe the tears and nobody's there to comfort your heart. You drive down the road and the music's up. Amen. But yet your heart is broken. And you say, God, why, why? And nobody's there to answer the question. You see, the problems on the inside are usually harder than the problems on the outside because nobody sees them and nobody understands. Have you been feeling those raging problems lately on the inside of your life? Hey, sometimes it's so easy to give in to doubt and despair. And there are sometimes, Brother Webb, that we want to just raise our head up to God and ask him one word. God, why? September the 13th. 1987, I believe it was. My cousin Regina had graduated from high school, went to Ozark Bible Institute in Missouri. She was going to be a missionary, was her goal. She had a boyfriend, and they were making plans of marriage and going to Mexico as a missionary. On September the 13th, a Friday, the school decided to take a bus trip into northern Arkansas and go to this little play called the Passion Play where they show the life of Christ. They acted out outside. They were making that trip through those mountains of southern Missouri and northern Arkansas. And as they were traveling there, amen, something happened in the bus. They do not know. Maybe mechanical failure, maybe driver failure, engine, they don't know. But somehow that bus got out of control going through those mountains. They said that the driver fought it with all of his strength and his might. He kept that bus on the road for a long time, barreling
rolling down through those mountains. But finally it got out of his control and it plunged over the mountainside. They said that when that bus made its first impact on its nose, my cousin and her boyfriend were sitting right behind the driver, and the windshield popped out and Regina went through the windshield, fell all the way to the bottom of the mountain. That bus rolled and tumbled and landed on top of her and crushed her and killed her. 17 years old. I remember when the call came to my family. We all gathered there at my Uncle Mike's house waiting to hear about Regina. They said, "We found everybody. Everybody's accounted for except for your daughter, Regina." Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach right here. Hey, man, I remember, Brother Deal. Hey, we waited till the wee hours of the morning. They couldn't find her. She was under the bus. Finally, they picked up the wreckage and pulled it out of the valley. And there they found her crushed, broken body. I remember very early in the morning when the call came. My dad and I had stepped out on the front porch and we were sitting there and the screen door was open. Amen. I heard the phone ring and my Uncle Mike said, "Hello." He listened for just a moment, dropped the phone back in the cradle and said, "Our daughter's in the funeral home." And that big old burly steel worker hung his head and cried and wept and said, "My daughter's gone." Amen. Brother Webb, I couldn't understand it. Amen. She's given her life to the Lord, but yet God snuffs her out. I looked at my father, Brother Deal, and I said, "Dad, I don't understand this." Amen. "I don't understand why." And I said, "Is it okay if I ask God why, God?" My dad looked at me with wisdom and he said, "Yes, son, you can ask God why, but always remember this: God has a purpose and God has a plan, and he knows it all from the beginning." Hey, friend, you may feel like tonight you're living on Patmos and your problems are crushing you and overwhelming you, but I felt like telling somebody tonight, God's got a purpose and God's got a plan, and God knows why. Yes, it's all right to look at him and say, "Why, God? I don't understand it, God." But trust him anyhow. Amen. Trust him anyhow. When you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. Trust God. He's got a purpose for your Patmos. He's got a plan for your Patmos. He understands your problem. He understands your pain. Just trust God on Patmos. Oh. The problems faced on Patmos. But here we go. All of a sudden, we switch verses here. John's on Patmos. He's discouraged. He's broken. He's hurting. That's verse 9. But we get to verse 10. And John shifts gears and turns the situation all the way over. He said, "I was on Patmos, but on the Lord's day, I got in the Spirit." Amen. He said, "I've got the problems I'm facing on Patmos," but then he began to dwell on the power that's felt in Pentecost. Amen. "I got in the Spirit in the middle of all of my Patmos." Amen. "I got caught up in the Spirit." Amen. There's got to be a power that is felt in Pentecost. Amen. I'm going to switch total gears here now. All right. Amen. Because that's just what John did. He went from the doldrums of Patmos into the glory realm of Pentecost. Amen. Let me preach to feel a little bit about the power felt in Pentecost, for there is an awesome power that we feel in Pentecost, and no other power can compare, and no other denomination has what we have, church. It's the power of Pentecost. Amen. Aren't you glad to be Pentecostal? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God that can come by and touch a wounded heart and a broken spirit and lift you up in the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Notice this. That power will flood our spirit. You see, when we get saved, friend, we get a measure of the Holy Ghost, for God moves in our life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But we're not satisfied with that. Amen. We want to go a little deeper, and we want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of Pentecost. Amen. That power floods in, and it floods over us, and it floods into us, and it fills us up. I say thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within me. The book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm glad for the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a power to witness. It's a power to work for God. It's a power to walk with God. It's a power to win over the world. It's a power to worship. It's a power to walk worthy. Hey, friend, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Spirit. We need a wave of glory to roll over our souls again and fill us with power. Oh, Lord, send the power right now and baptize every one of us. Hey, friend, do you need a refilling and a refreshing? We need a Holy Ghost revival. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to empower the church to live through the last days, is the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The power floods our soul, our spirit, but this power also fills our services. Ah, that's what we need to experience again, is the Holy Ghost rolling through the church. Amen. It seems like every time I pray, I say, Lord, send a wave of glory through. Amen. That would solve our problems. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to fill our services again. In the song service, let the Holy Ghost flow. In the prayer service, let the Holy Ghost wave roll over. In the preaching, let the Holy Ghost come in. In the altar, let the Holy Ghost come in. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. Without that, we're like every other denomination, but with the power of the Holy Ghost, that's where the difference is. Hey, friend, we need the Holy Ghost to help us. We need the Holy Ghost to strengthen us. We need the Holy Ghost to empower us. We need the Holy Ghost to bless us. Do you feel dry in your spirit? Do you feel heavy laden in your soul? You need the Holy Ghost to come by and help you with your problem. Amen. That power that's felt in Pentecost. But here's where I'd like to preach to you if the Holy Ghost would help me. Amen. We see the problems that are faced at Patmos. We see the power that's felt in Pentecost. But here's where I want to preach. Pentecost can flow at Patmos. John said, I was on Patmos. But while I was there, I got in the Spirit. Sometimes we act as if Pentecost and Patmos cannot exist in the same life. We act like if somebody's going through a Patmos, they can't feel the Holy Ghost. And if somebody's full of the Holy Ghost, they cannot be going through a Patmos experience. But Brother Steve, that's a lie of the devil.
Amen. Because what he wants you to believe is this. I'm in such a Patmos experience that the Holy Ghost can't help me through it. I'm in such a horrible position, amen, that the Holy Ghost can't come and bless me. I can't shout. I'm in trouble. I can't dance. I'm in trouble. I'm living on Patmos. I surely can't feel the Holy Ghost. But that is a lie, friend. Pentecost can flow while you're at your Patmos. Do you remember that old saying? It said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. It can be true, my friend. You can be in the worst time of your life, living on an isle called Patmos. Problems within and problems without. And you're overwhelmed and overburdened. And you're pressed down so much. Amen. But all of a sudden the Holy Ghost can come by and touch you. And your worst of times can be turned into the best of times as the Holy Ghost moves through your soul and moves over your spirit. And you can shout right in the middle of your Patmos. I'm telling you, it can be a simultaneous experience. You can be living on Patmos and be living in the power of Pentecost simultaneously. That's what John did. As a matter of fact, the only way to come through your Patmos experience successfully is to have Pentecost while you're at your Patmos. Hey, tonight, are you living on Patmos? And you say, preacher, I'm living here. I'm dwelling here. I've been here a while. Do you know what you need tonight? You need the Pentecost of old time to move on you in the middle of your Patmos. You need the Spirit of God to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot even contain right in the middle of your Patmos, right in the middle of your problem, right in the middle of your trouble. Amen. I'm bleeding, I'm broken, I'm beaten, I'm troubled on every hand. Yes, but do you know what you need? You need the Holy Ghost to come by and help you on your Patmos. It'll put a shout back, it'll put a joy back, it'll put a refresher back, it'll lift your spirit, it'll straighten your back up, it'll build your faith. It'll build your hope. You need Pentecost while you're living on Patmos. The Holy Ghost can take your burden and turn it into a blessing. Do you remember Paul's thorn? But God turned it around and blessed him with it. Do you remember Job's trials? But God used them to give him a double blessing. Do you remember Joseph's trauma in the pit? But God used it for good. Do you remember Paul's turmoil in the prison, but God saved a city out of it? I said, God can turn it around. I said, God can turn it around. All things work together for good to them that all love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You need the Holy Ghost in the middle of your trial. You need the Spirit of God in the middle of your trouble. You need a blessing in the middle of your buffeting. Amen. You need Pentecost while at Patmos.
You've got the remedy now.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, yes.
I feel like saying what you say. If I might just be
here. Yeah, I know that you feel.
Come on.
I know what you feel.
World War II. There was a prison camp the Germans had. They brought British and Americans prisoners of war. They put a fence down the middle, British on one side, Americans on the other. The Americans in their barracks at night built a homemade transistor radio. And every night they would listen to the news. There was a man in there by the name of McDonald. When he heard the news, he would walk out to the fence, and a British man, a chaplain, would come to him. He would tell him the news. He would take it to the British and share it. One night, that American barracks turned their little radio on in their secret place, and they heard the news that said this: the war is over. The Germans have surrendered, and in 3 days, all prisoners will be released, and they will be sent home. The war is over. They rejoiced and shouted. They walked outside, McDonald did, went to the fence, told the chaplain man of the Scottish or the British. He walked back over and told his men. He said, Brother Webb, when that man walked in the barracks and made the announcement, amen, the war is over. In 3 days, all prisoners are going home. He said it was like a bomb went off in that place. He said they began to shout and hoop and holler and stomp their feet on the old wood floor and hug one another. He said they ran outside and rolled around in the dust and were kicking their legs and screaming and crying and tears rolling down. You say, wait a minute, Brother Brim. They're still in prison. They're still in bondage. They're still in the prison camp. They're still away from home. Yeah. But they had a hope in their heart that said, in 3 days, I'm getting out of here. In 3 days, I'm going home. I'm going to see my mama. I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my wife. In 3 days, I'm going home. Hey, friend, that's how the Holy Ghost is. You're living in Patmos. You're still bound up. You're still in prison. You're still getting a beating every day. But you got a hope in your heart that says, one day, I'm getting out of here. One day I'm going home. One day I'm going to get help from heaven. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost that's keeping you alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Hey, friend, you got to get the Holy Ghost in the middle of your Patmos. You've got to get the glory to come down in the middle of your Patmos. Amen. The glory said, or the song said, amen, I went through the fire. I was put to the test. But glory, hallelujah, brother. God bless. That's what you got to do, friend. In the fire, get blessed. In the trial, get blessed. In the trouble, get blessed. I went through the fire. I was put to the test. But glory, hallelujah, brother. God bless. I got blessed in the midst of my struggle. I got blessed in the middle of my trouble. Amen. Do you need a blessing? Do you need Pentecost? While at Patmos. Simultaneous. I'm just about done. But here's the thing. It's not just a one-time blessing. Amen. John said in chapter 1, he said, boys, I'm on Patmos. It's hot. I'm ad-libbing here, all right? They beat me this morning with the whip, and I had to go in the salt mine, and it burned, and it stung. They tightened the chain on my wrist today. But this afternoon, I got in the Holy Ghost and he helped me through it. We go, okay, that's nice. Let's go on to chapter 4. He picks up his pen again. He said, fellas, they smacked me in the face today and it's so hot and I believe I'm coming down with a disease. But did I tell you this afternoon, hey man, I got in the Spirit again and the Holy Ghost helped me again on Patmos. Hey man, we go a few chapters later to chapter 17 and John picks up the pen. He said, guys, I'm still on Patmos. I'm still in my trouble and my problems. But praise God, today I got carried away in the spirit. Hallelujah. We go to chapter 21. He said, I've been here a long time, fellas. It seems like I'm never going to get off of the island of Patmos. But praise God, today he came by one more time. And amen, he lifted me up and carried me away in the spirit. Amen, it was several times. It wasn't just once, but it was twice, and three times, and four times. Do you know what you need, friend? You need to get in the Holy Ghost tonight. You need to get in the Holy Ghost tomorrow. You need to get in the Holy Ghost on Tuesday. You need to get in the Holy Ghost on Wednesday. Over and over and over and over. Just keep getting in the Spirit. You say, Brother Brim, it's worse today than it was yesterday. Yeah, but when you get in the Spirit, he'll be better today than he was yesterday. You need to get in the Holy Ghost again and again and again and again. Amen. Get in there and let it be glory to glory. Let it be blessing to blessing. Let it be triumph to triumph. Amen. Get in there again and get another blessing in the Holy Ghost. Stand with me all over the house. I tried to preach to you what I feel. Somebody that's living on Patmos tonight needs to get carried away in the Spirit. Please do not take what I'm about to say wrong. When you're going through a trial, it's easy to have a frown. It's easy to have a sad look on your face. But friend, that's not the way to make it through. The way to make it through is come with all of your sadness to that place of prayer and let the Holy Ghost get on you. Amen. There's nothing that makes the difference like getting in the presence of God and the Spirit of the Lord just carrying you away. You say, Brother Brim, I don't feel like shouting. You don't have to shout every time you get in the Spirit, but there's going to be some times you're going to get carried away and you're going to forget who you are and where you are, and you're just going to kick up your heels and dance a little bit. You might roll on the floor. You might jump up and down. Amen. But you've got to get in the Spirit. Somebody's on a Patmos tonight. Hey man, you need to make your way to the altar. Throw your hands up and say, God, while I'm at Patmos, I need to feel Pentecost. Can we lift our hands right now all over the house and say, Lord, let us feel Pentecost. Let us feel Pentecost. Let us feel Pentecost. Lord, would you let somebody get carried away? Would you get somebody lifted up in the Spirit? Lord, would you get somebody in the Spirit on this Lord's Day today, in the name of Jesus? If you're here tonight and you feel like you've been living on Patmos, maybe your address is Patmos, I want you to come and I want you to get caught up in the Spirit tonight. I want you to get carried away in the Spirit tonight. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to strengthen you. I want the Holy Ghost to encourage you. Amen. This altar's open for people that are living on Patmos but would like to have Pentecost while you're at your Patmos. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking for somebody that says, Preacher, that's me. Amen. Patmos is where I am. I'm asking God why every day, but I'd like to feel the Holy Ghost strengthen me tonight. Amen. This altar's open for you right now. Hallelujah.